Okay, so now we're picking up again from Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was saying, "Ein lachal ma shamru chachamim mei madlikin." So the only things that you're not allowed to light with is that which the Mishnah specifically says you can't use. Like the Mishnah says you can't use chalev, which they say is like tallow. So umadlikin b'shemen dagin ubeniftron. But you could light with fish oil. It means like something from the innards of fish. And itron, remember, was from taken from the pitch, and that was the smelly item. That's so according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, remember, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is a Tana, so he holds you could light with those things. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri Omer, Malikim Shem Pakuot Ubneft. Shimon Shizuri says you can light with Shem Pakuot, it's like oil from this like gourd, and neft, neft is naphtha. Sumchas Omer, Kul Yotze Menabasar, E Malikin Bo, Ela B'Shemen Dagim. He says anything that comes from flesh, from a living creature, you can't light with, except for the Shemen Dagim. So the Gemara says, Sumchas Hainu Tanakama. So the Gemara says, both Sumchas and the Tanakama here, he means the earlier Tana, means Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri, they both hold that you could light with all with oils, including, he says, you can't eat light with oils that come from an animal, but Shemen Dagim you could use, and he also, they all hold that you could light with what's the other one? Shemen Chaleb, Shemen, Tarubit Shem, wait, let me give one second. I'm sorry, 1 minute. One second. Right. So, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said that you could use the fish oil, and so, like Sumchas, Rabbi Yochanan invalidates anything from the flesh, but they have the exception with the fish oil. Okay, so they both hold that I can't light with any oil that comes from an animal, except for the fish oil. Now, the Gemara says, if that's the case, Sumchas Hainu Tanakama. So Sumchas is the same as Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So Ika b'nai d'rabruna amarav v'lo m'saymi. So the Gemara says the nafkamina between the two will be, and we had this earlier, it was several times, what Rabruna says the name of Rav. So Rabruna says the name of Rav, if I have chaylev, I'm not allowed to use chaylev. But if I add oil to it, I could use it. So the way, let's look at the Rashi on this. So the way Rashi has it, it's around 15 lines on the bottom. The Omer Tzarit Latocho Shemen Kol Shehu. You have to add a little bit of regular oil. Inami the Asher Chelav Mehutaf Tarubit Shemen Kol Shehu, and you can add a little oil to like the liquid Chelav. Chani Hanach Tanai Savar the Rabruna the Chelav Nitar B'Tarubet. So one of the Tanaim holds that if I add oil to the Chelav, that's permissible. Aval Shemen Dagim Apil Be'enei. But Shemen Dagim, even undiluted. So again, so one of the Tanayim, we don't know which one's going to be. We have Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Sumchas. One of them holds like that the fish oil I could use straight, and it was unadulterated fish oil. But the chaylev I can only use with a little bit of regular oil. The other one holds the chaylev absolutely not, but the Shemen Dagim I could add a little bit of oil to. So it means that between these two Tanayim, they each hold that one of the elements, if I add a little bit of oil, I'm good to go. One holds, if I add a little bit of oil to the regular chalev, I'm good to go. The other holds, if I add the regular oil to the Shemen Dagim, I'm good to go. All right, but the Gemara doesn't say which one holds which. All right, let me see further in the Gemara.
Quick question.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Shemen Kick from the first Mishnah is fish oil, right?
Let me take a look. I don't know. One second. Let's take a look. One second.
Fish.
1 second, Shimon Kick. I see it. All right, 1 second, Shimon Kick. 1 second. He says kick oil, but I don't know. What did the Gemara say the kick oil was? Do you remember? 1 second.
I think it was fish. There was three explanations.
One of them
was fish.
All right, 1 second. That was on Mechafal from an Aleph, Shimon Kick.
Random was fish.
Right. So So he says, first of all, so the Gemara says, Shmuel says it's a bird. Shmuel says it's a bird, and the name of the bird is Kik. And then Rabbi Yitzchak...
There's another opinion
that holds it's Mishcha Dekaz, it's cottonseed oil. And Rish Lakish says it's Kik. And then okay, so, or right, let's see back on the Gemara. All right, now...
It's bird,
Tanya, now we enter into a new topic, or, you know, it's obviously everything's related to one to another, but it's a new topic, and it's talking about the Tuma Begadim. So he says, Tanya, Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, Kol Yotze Min Ha'etz, Ein Bo, Mishum Shalosha Shalosh, U Sachikim Bo, Chutz Mi Pishtan. Anything means any fabric that comes from a tree. So anything that grows, a plant, he says, Ein Bo Mishum Shalosha Shalosh. It's not susceptible to tuma with three etzbaot by three etzbaot. Umesachin bo chutz mi pishtan, and you could use it for schach. So let's go slowly with this. It's really going to come out that according to the first Tana, which is Rishimun Elazar, that only semer and pishtim. In other words, the Torah says that in different areas in halacha, a beged is susceptible to tuma. A garment is susceptible to tuma. To ritual and purification. So let's say a maid comes into contact with it, or you know a dead sheretz comes into contact with it. So what the question is, what's a beged? So Rav Shimon Elazar says beged is oil or linen is a beged. So here in the Braisa he says kol yotze min ha'etz ein bo mishum shalosh shalosh. Shalosh shalosh is three etzbaot by three etzbaot. Means a small swatch. You know, it's three etzbaot by three etzbaot. It doesn't look like very much to me. It may be an inch by an inch. So maybe it's a little bit more than that. But you get it. So a small swatch. So the only thing he says, anything that grows is not susceptible to tuma with the small swatch. He says, it means if it would be hemp or it would be cotton. So it's not susceptible to tuma. He says, umesachin bo, and you could use it for schach on your sukkah, because it's gidulei karka, grows from the ground. It says, chutz mi pishtan, the exception being linen. Linen is mekabel tuma. Now, Amar Abaye, the top line in Amar Beis, Amar Abaye, Reb Shimon Elazar, v'tana debay Reb Shmuel amru davar achad. So Abaye says, Reb Shimon Elazar and the Tana who taught in the Beis Medrash Reb Shmuel taught the same thing. He says, Rav Shimon Elazar had to Amram. Rav Shimon Elazar we just had, so it comes out that it means things like cotton are not makabel tuma, things like Rashi calls it canvas or hemp, it's not makabel tuma. He says, Tani debay Rabbi Shmuel ma'ihi. What's Tani debay Rabbi Shmuel? He says, the Tani debay Rabbi Shmuel, hol v'nemru begadim b'toristam. So the Torah mentions beged, a garment. A garment is susceptible to tuma. And the Torah mentions the garment in a number of different locations. If you look at Rashi, in the second narrow line, Hol v'nemru begadim b'toristam, you go on betumat shratzim. Let's say a tomb of a sheretz. I have a dead lizard, and it touches a beged. So the beged is tamei. Betumat mate. Dechtiv betumat shratzim o beged awar, uvameid b'chol beged b'chol klior. Or a dead person coming into contact with it, or in the same ohel. So it mentions also, like if shechvat zera would be on a garment, or it mentions that you have to put tzitzis on a beged. So the Torah mentions beged, and it doesn't tell you what the beged is, what it's made out of. Then back in the Gemara, so he says, Hol v'nemru begadim b'torah of stam, u'prid l'chachtu b'chamihim, tzemru pishtim. So by tzara'at, Sarat is like this affliction that can apply to the beged. So there it mentions beged atzemer or pishtim, a garment that's made of wool or linen. He says, malahalan semru pishtim, I've called semru pishtim. So just like over there, it's a binyan av. In other words, the Torah reveals to us by Sarat that beged means a woolen garment or a linen garment. So too, we can extrapolate in every other place where the Torah mentions a beged, it means wool or linen. So according to this, wool and linen would be the garments you'd have to put tzitzis on min haTorah, and wool and linen is susceptible to tumah, but cotton is not susceptible to tumah, right? And canvas hemp is not susceptible to Tumah. Okay, so again, so according to Abaye, we had two opinions in the Tanaim. We had Rav Shimon Elazar and Tana Debei Rabbi Ishmael. And both of them hold, there's the minimum shear is 3 etzba'ot by 3 etzba'ot. So if the 3 etzba'ot by 3 etzba'ot is from a wool or a linen garment, it's mekabel Tumah. If it's something else, it's zero. That's the way Abaye learns, okay? So now, Rava Amar, any questions what we did so far? Everybody good? Everybody good? I'm moving on. Okay. So Rava Amar, Shloshah Shlosha Bishar Begadim Ikebinayu. Rava says, I don't agree with you, Abaye. Rava says, I think there's a disagreement between these two Tanayim. I think, Rava is saying, that the first Tana, Rav Shimon Elazar, holds that the other Begadim could be susceptible to Tuma, but if it's a larger shear. The larger shear would be 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim. In other words, we had like a small postage stamp type swath. Now we have like a swatch that's like a foot by a foot, 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim. So I hold that the first Tana, Rav Shimon Elazar, he holds that if you have a big swatch, it is susceptible to Tumah. To Rav Shimon Elazar Idlei, Rav Shimon Elazar holds it is susceptible to Tumah. The Tana Debei Rabbi Ishmael Idlei, the one doesn't hold it, because the first Tana said the Zachar and Nekeva. So Shalosh al Shalosh is Nekeva, right? That's etzbaot. So that's the, he says, Shalosh al Shalosh, Rav Shimon Elazar said, is only basically by wool or linen. But other, according to Rava, other things could be Shlosha al Shlosha. In other words, 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim. And the other Tana, that's Tana the Beit Rabbi Shmuel holds, nothing doing. So the Gemara says, Dekuli Alma, now Dekuli Alma means, according to both Abaye and Rava, according to both Tanaim, Miat Shlosh al Shlosh, Betzemru Pishtim, Mitame Benegayim. They both agree the minimum shear for Tumat Begadim is 3 etzba'ot by 3 etzba'ot if it's wool or linen. So everybody agrees a wool or linen garment is susceptible to Tumah, provided it's at least 3 etzba'ot by 3 etzba'ot. So Manalan, where do we know that from? The Tanya, we learn the Braisa, Beged. So the Torah says, if you have a Beged, which the Gemara takes it to be a complete Beged, a complete garment, it's susceptible to Tumah. Ainli of the Beged, I only know a complete garment. Shalosha Shalosh Minayin. Where do I know that if the garment is 3 etzba'ot by 3 etzba'ot, that it still means it's a little swatch, a little piece of fabric, that it's still susceptible to Tumah? Tama Lomar Viha Beged. This talks about Sarat. In other words, it could have said Beged. It says Viha Beged. In other words, the Vavin Hay. The extra Vavin Hay is going to teach us a ribui that that even a small swatch is susceptible to Tumah. So the Gemara says, how did you figure out the ribui is for a piece that's 3 etzba'ot by 3 etzba'ot? He says, Ve'ein on the rabot shlosha al shlosha. Maybe it's to include a swatch, which is bigger swatch, which is 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim. In other words, it's like fill in the blank. We have a ribui. In other words, we're going to learn. In other words, the Torah says explicitly, if it's a whole beged, it's mekabel Tumah. Then we have a ribui, viha beged. Viha beged is teaching me something less than the beged is mekabel Tumah. So how did you figure out that that's a piece that's 3 etzba'ot by 3 etzba'ot? Maybe it's a piece that's 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim. So the Gemara says, Lav kabachomeru. The Gemara says that it would be a kabachomer. 1 second. Yeah. So the Gemara says that if it's a piece of cloth that's 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim, I would know that from a kabachomer. I don't need a ribui. And the kabachomer would go like this: Hashta sheti ve'erev mitame. If the Torah says the sheti and the erev is the warp and the woof. When you're weaving the garment together. So the Torah says the sheti and the erev, even though it's not a complete garment, is mekabel Tumah. Shlosha shlosha mibaya. So 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim, if sheti and erev is mekabel Tumah, certainly a piece of garment that's 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim is mekabel Tumah. So the Gemara says, Yihachi shalosh shoshamosh nami leiti mekabel chomer. By that line of reasoning, I would assume that even 3 etzba'ot by 3 etzba'ot is also mekabel Tumah. I don't need the Torah to teach me. So the Gemara says, Ela shloshal shlosha. Now here's the key line. The Gemara says, if it's 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim, dechazu bein lashirim bein laniyim. In other words, if you have a piece of cloth which is 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim, that's a substantial piece of cloth. That's ra'ui to be used by wealthy people and poor people. It means even a wealthy person would not throw out a garment that's like 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim. It's such a substantial piece of garment, he wouldn't throw it in the garbage. So he says, so that I would know by Kal v'chomer. If the Torah says a sheti and an erev is susceptible to tumah, certainly a large piece of cloth, which is 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim, is susceptible to tumah. Shalosh al shalosh lanimu dechazin. But if it's a small swatch, 3 etzba by 3 etzbaot, which I'm saying like an inch by an inch, whatever, he says that's only ruui for a poor person. A poor person will save it. A wealthy person out in the garbage can. He says la shirim lo chazin lo ati b'kal v'chomer. That I would not know through a kal v'chomer. So the Gemara says, assuming those are the choices, choice A. So again, the Torah says explicitly, if it's a whole beged, it's mekabel tuma. And then we have viha beged. Viha beged is teaching me a piece of a beged. So, but the Torah also teaches me explicitly that a sheti or an erev, a warp or a woof, are mekabel tuma. So a large swatch, the Gemara says, which is 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim, that even wealthy people would keep it, that I know from the kal v'chomer. I don't need the Torah to be marbit. So I would know by my own devices that that's mekabel tuma. But a small piece, 3 etzba by 3 etzbaot, it's only ruhi for the aniyim, that I'm going to learn from the words viha beged, the extra letters. So the Gemara says, tam et kafei kra, halo et kafei kra, lo gamrina mekal v'chomer. So that's why I need the limud. So again, so the limud so far is viha beged, is teaching me that a small piece of garment, and again, we're only talking about beged et semer u'pishtim, the wool linen garment, is mekabel tuma. So the Gemara says, "Ve'emel rabot shlosho shlosho b'shar begadim." So the Gemara said, "How did you figure out? Again, you have a blank line. So I understand the 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim by wool and linen that I know from a kal v'chomer, and the sheti erev is also talking about wool and linen, I assume. So, but the Gemara says maybe this ribui is teaching me that 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim by shar begadim, not wool and linen, maybe cotton or canvas or hemp." So he says, Amar Kra, Beged Semer Upishtim. So the Torah says that it's Beged Semer Upishtim, has to be wool linen garment. Beged Semer Upishtim in Midi Akwin Alo. And it has to be Davka wool and linen. So the Gemara says, Ve'ema Ki Imoit Mishalosh Shalosh. Maybe it's telling me that it's excluded from 3 etzba by 3 etzba of its Shar Minim. How about Shlosh Shlosh Mitame? Maybe in Achinami, the Torah is telling me that if it's a large swatch by other minim, so it is susceptible to tuma. So the Gemara says, Trei miyutik tiva, there are 2 miyutim there. Beget semer uba beget pishtim. It says twice, beget semer uba beget pishtim. Chad miyutim mishlosho shalosh. One is to tell me that to exclude other garments from 3 etzba by 3 etzbaot. V'chad miyutim mishlosho shalosha. All right, let's go back slowly with this. So again, we started off with a bayin rava, so they have a machloket whether other garments, you know, other than wool and linen, are susceptible to tuma if they're larger than 3 etzbaot. But they both agree that if it's wool or linen, the minimum shear is 3 etzbaot by 3 etzbaot. So how do I know that? So the Gemara says the Torah says veha beged, the complete garment. I know the complete garment is mekabel tuma, and it says veha beged. I have extra letters veha beged. Veha beged teaches me even a small swatch, 3 etzba by 3 etzba. All right, let me just do a few more lines, and we'll summarize. Okay, 4 lines to the bottom. So the Gemara says, "Ula Rava da Amar Shlosha Shlosha B'Shar Beganim Ikebin Ayu." But according to Rava, he holds that between the 2 Tanayim, the point of dispute is Shar Beganim, that are a larger swatch of them. He says the Rishim and Elazar Itlay Tanah Ben Rishon Leitlay. That according to Rishim and Elazar, according to Rava, he holds that a large swatch, 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim. If it's not wool linen, is mekabel tuma. Shlosho shlosho b'shar begadim minale. So where does Rishon and Elazar learn about the 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim? So the Gemara says nafka may o beged. So he learns out there's a phrase. It says by the shratzim, by dead sheretz touching a beged. It says o beged. So he says the tanya beged ainli la beged. I only know if the dead sheretz touches a beged. Shlosha shlosha b'shar begadim minayin. How do I know that even if it's 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim by other things other than wool and linen, tamen lomar o beged. Okay, so basically the Gemara has learned that we learned the yisod that Beged means wool or linen. That's the default. Beged means wool or linen. The minimum shear for Kabbalah's Tumah by wool or linen, everybody agrees, is 3 etzba by 3 etzbaot. We learn that from the Ribui Veha Beged. Then there's machloket between Abai and Rava within Rav Shimon Elazar. According to Rava, Rav Shimon Elazar holds other begadim, other than wool or linen, are also mekabel tuma, but only if they're 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim, and he ends up learning that from the pasuk o beged. It's in extra words, o beged. It could have said beged. It says o beged. So that's what we learn from. Now, let me see if I have a little piece that I can go over with you, and it'll be it. Today's chafav. All right. I think I'm going to leave this out. All right, let me see if I have a story for Michael. Let me see if we have a story. Any questions of what we did? Anybody want to mute themselves and ask anything? What do you got for me, Michael? What's up? Michael, what do you have?
Oh, I'm waiting for the story. I can't wait.
Yeah, I can see. All right. Now,
I have a question.
All right. Anyway, what do you got? Who has a question? What's up, Mayor?
I have a question.
It looks like we have time for 2 stories for Michael.
Yeah, I don't have a story. I mean, I have a story. Michael would never like it. Any, Ruth, you wanted to ask something or not?
I have a question.
I just want to say I heard from that male secretary, guys, the one I was worried about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He said he nearly killed himself from not eating.
Oh, yeah, they don't eat. They have no appetite and no taste. And no smell, no taste, no appetite.
All right. Anyway, Ruth, what did you want to ask?
Thank God.
I'm having a little difficulty when you qualify that a pishtim could be like a tzorat, kal v'chomer, because an erev could be contaminated. You could justify, did you say an erev before?
Sheti and erev is the warp and the woof. In other words, if I'm weaving a garment, I have certain threads that are lined up on the loom that go right to left, and other strings that go, you know, up to down. So the Torah says that the sheti and the erev are susceptible to tumah. So if I see spools of thread that haven't been woven into a cloth are subject to tumah, so certainly a small swatch is mekabel tumah. That's what we were saying. You got it? Okay. All right, everybody's good? Aaron, you're good? What's up with you, Aaron?
Everything is good. I saw both Diane Emmis and Eric Wahlberg. Yeah. I saw what was that involved with the coronavirus.
I don't know. All right, listen, so Luke, I'm going to turn off the tape now.